Welcome to a new episode of Leaders Talk. My guest today is Elena Nikolayenko. She's the president of the Future for Ukraine Foundation.
It's not just about the prosthetics. It's about the possibility to back to normal life. We try to advocate the difficult type of amputations, these difficult type of injuries. They never stop the life, because this is the life of all the soldiers who wanna back to the just normal life.
Leaders Talk, the interview podcast portraying leaders who are committed to better leadership, better organizations, and a better world. Hosted by managing partner of Leadership Choices and co-founder of the Cosmic Foundation, Carsten Brath.
The Future for Ukraine Foundation was founded directly after the Russian invasion. They work in three particular areas. They support wounded soldiers with prosthetics. They support women who experience sexual violence. And they support kids with mental health issues, traumatization, and who are on the autism scale. And with Elena, I discuss how this organization came about, what's her role in this, and how she experienced the invasion, what it did to her, to her family. They had to flee the country and set up the foundation in Warsaw, and how she had to rebuild her life. It's a very touching conversation, but I think definitely worth listening. And it's especially close to my heart because our Cosmic Foundation will support the work of the Future for Ukraine Foundation, of the team with coaching. And we are very excited to start very, very soon with this. And now directly to the talk with Elena Nikolayenko. A very warm welcome to Elena Nikolayenko. Welcome to Leaders Talk.
Hello, very nice to see you, Carsten.
Very nice to see you too. Where are you right now, Elena?
Oh, I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm supporting four soldiers for prosthetics, Ukrainian soldiers that were injured during the war. They lost the limbs. It's four young men that protect our country, and they lost their limbs. And we are, as a Future for Ukraine Foundation, support them to find the best prosthetics in the world, and they can back to active life, and they can live their life in a full that is possible.
Wow. And we met, I think, 2 weeks ago in Warsaw. And you were, right after our meeting, you were meeting the soldiers and then flying over to Washington, and you're staying there with them for 5 weeks, because it's a quite complex process, isn't it?
It's a little bit complex process, because we support the soldiers with complex cases of amputation. The people, they couldn't have a help in Ukraine because of lack of experience and some special, like, mainly experience and special, like, services. So we try to help them abroad in the US. And of course, it's like, you know, we have one soldier that he lost the right arm and right leg from the one side. And this is quite complicated to fit this person in prosthesis. So that's why it's it's quite a little bit complex things.
Yeah, and maybe let's look a little bit at the organization overall. You have three major areas of work. Can you explain what Future for Ukraine Foundation does?
Of course. Future for Ukraine Foundation, we was created at the beginning with a full war, a full scale invasion in March 2022. At the beginning, we had four directions for help. It was like, because we are a team of girls who created the Future for Ukraine, and exactly we understand from the beginning that we are like civilian, we help civilians, so we are humanitarian foundation, and we had four directions of help. It was humanitarian help. It was we help kids, we help women, and we help like medical help that include help hospitals with medication, with some equipment. And later we found that this type of soldier, they need to find some help with prosthesis. So, but a year later, we just focused on three. And now we have three main directions of help. It's like we help kids. It's we have in Lviv a children's center called Levchik Spectrum Hub. It's a help for kids with autism spectrum disorder, and kids can have like six times a week help corrections classes for kids. And now we have 50 kids that six times a week during the year they have these classes, and they have a very good results, and we are happy with this. We have children center called the Children Hub, and this project was start from the Warsaw, and now we move it to Lviv. And from the very first days, we help more than 1,000 kids. It's a center of psychological adaptation kids, local displaced kids, because like mainly psychological adaptation through the game. And because these kids, you know, they saw a lot of war, and they have a lot of this stress, they need to work on it. And sometimes the kid, they couldn't understand, and they couldn't explain what they feel. That's why we create the special program how to work with this type of trauma and how to work with kids. And this is kids mainly from 3 to 7, so years old. Our next direction of help, it's we help women. Women who were suffered from the sexual violence from the Russian soldiers. This is highly specialized anonymous help that we provide online. We have a group of professional psychologist that works with support and supervision from Israel Coalition of Trauma, and they provide this type of help for women online, and it's absolutely anonymous and safe for this women to have this help. The help of women, we have other directions. We help the women who has this document that the family member was lost, or they don't have a body for when the body, the person is died in the war, but they don't have a body
to bury.
Yeah, to bury, yeah. So this is other type of psychological trauma that our psychologist works to. And the third main direction of help, this is medical help. And this is we help hospitals with medicine and with equipment. And we help the soldiers who, like veterans mainly, yeah, because they couldn't back to the battlefield because of the very difficult injuries, like, and they need to have this special prosthesis for back to the normal life. Wow. So this is most thing that we do. We have a lot of projects, but mainly in these areas.
That's impressive. And how large is Future for Ukraine charity? Do you have kind of different subsidiaries or legal entities, but how many people work there? What kind of donations come in, just so that we have an idea?
Future for Ukraine, we are the team. We are a team of Ukrainian volunteers. The whole team is nearly like 50 people all around the world. And now we have three legal entities. We have legal entity in US. It's 501c3. We have legal entity in Poland. And we have a legal entity in Ukraine. All three foundations have the same name, Future for Ukraine. We have the same mission and standards of work, all the like operation procedure, because one team works for all these charities. Between all these charities, we have a memorandum of understanding, so that the main our goal to help Ukrainians who suffered from the war, and we help all our projects located in Ukraine. So that's why, like charity in US or charity in Poland, we mainly work like fundraisers and influencers and advocates of Ukraine abroad. But all our projects realization main in Ukraine work with this. But our donors, they are like from all around the world. We have people from Australia, Japan, UK, Europe, so from everywhere.
That's amazing. That's an amazing work, and I mean, 50 people sounds like a lot, but it's, I mean, there's so much work, right? And I mean, you are right now in Washington with four wounded soldiers, 2 weeks into their rehab, and you are the caretaker, the nurse, the driver, probably the drill sergeant, the counselor, the motivator. You do all of that in one person.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, we're joking about this because, you know, I'm continue to work in Ukrainian time, like from 5 to 10, from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'm working with our Ukrainian team about the like goals, how the project's going on, everything like this. And then from 10 to 7, I work with the guys. So I pick up the guys. We just because, you know, like, and I'm carry all the wheelchairs to the trunk and back. So like all the guys, I need to motivate them that everything will be good. I'm interpreter what is needed. So yes, it's like a lot of, like, we are Ukrainians. We're like this. We understand, you know, what the goal and what we do. That's why we are motivated to do our best.
Wow. And you explained me a little bit how this works. So first of all, you mentioned it's the complex cases that are flown over to US because that's very costly, right? So what's this prosthetics? What does it cost? Just give us an idea, please.
Oh, the cost of cost of this is the whole process of prosthetics and rehabilitation. It's a little bit costly, for now we have last year we win a big grant, $1 million from Pfizer Foundation, and these things that we are proud, really proud of, because it was very long process. Four times we requested for this grant, and just like in the fourth time we was chosen for the next steps, and it was like a long process of due diligence when they check everything for whole hour, they check all three foundation, everything. Financial status, legal, everything. And after all this, when all this process was done, we win the grant. And we are proud of this because we built from the very beginning our charity as a very transparent, very open and clear. And this result for us, it's like really show that we are like this. This is not just like words. We are really open and transparent, and this like big companies, because we are like young charity, it will be in March, will be just 2 years from the beginning, but everything that we do is really really transparent. And so we have a money for this, and we have when we found the clinic, we deal with them that they ask the biggest discount from the from these companies that producer companies that produce the all the components, and we have discount nearly like 40-50% from the for all, and mainly like for and sometimes other donors donate some components. So for example, and like when we return to these questions, like how much does it cost? So if we talk today about this person with when he lose the arms and leg, yeah. So the arms price for arms is like nearly $90,000, and this is with discount nearly like we have discount nearly like $60,000 discount from the regular price. And this is like with everything, with work of prosthetics. So it's like whole team work and all the components. And the leg, his leg, because he's a very big guy, he's 111 kilos and he's tall. And his prosthesis for lower limb, he needs the special, this knee. And we have a donor here in US, and he donate the knee to this guy. And this knee, the cost just for knee, $125,000 just for knee. By the way, so and other components is like nearly $50,000. So as you understand, like if we calculate everything in the regular price for this person, all prosthetics will be like near like $300,000. But this is impossible, like for this person to, because he is like from some village from Ukraine. Yeah, he protect our he was in the battlefield. He protect our independence. He fight for our freedom. But so it's like this is difficult cases with a very high price of this, and it's difficult to find for this type of, for these people, this type of decision. That's why we as the FFU, we work with Ministry of Health. They have all these patients in the list of waitness to find the treatment abroad, and we know that this is a difficult cases and they need something special. And with cooperation with Ministry of Health, they support us with all the documents that they need to go abroad. And we try to find the donors abroad, like the grants and this. And we support the soldiers for like support to the clinic, to the treatment, and provide them everything this, because this is like not just to give them prosthesis. They here during 5 weeks because they need every day like adjustments and physical therapy, because the main goal is to teach them how to use the prosthesis. Because if just somebody give them prosthesis and don't teach them how to use it, they never use it. And this is the biggest lose in this area. You need not just give the prosthesis, you give the all the opportunities how to use it in the regular life and what they want to do with this prosthesis. And with arms, they every day they try to open it there, like the you know, like how to brush the teeth, how to cut the cucumber for the salad, and they do the regular things, how to open the bottle or something like this. And they need to learn all this, like that they it was before with the arms it was like easy, and now they need to learn everything this.
Well, and you told me in the beginning or before our conversation that there is a difference if somebody has a medically planned amputation, like for example because of diabetes, then there is a remainder of a limb and you plan the surgery in the way that it's kind of easy to fit a prosthetics to it. But when you are in war, obviously it's not planned, and some shell explodes and then you lose, you know, a lot of your shoulder and muscle tissue and all of that, and hence you have to work with what is left. And that's the complexity with it.
Yes, this is a complexity, and the complexity is because a lot of muscles is injured, and the level of amputations can be very high, and the prostheses, they need to create something we called like a bespoke prosthetics for each of this patient, because every case is unique. Physical therapists check what the muscles is we have, and with how to teach this person with this muscle that they we have to use the prosthesis, how to fit this better, and prosthetics create something that can work, and this person can use this type of prosthesis. So it's bespoke prosthetics for this type of patients, exactly. Yeah.
And that means you are also working together with countries that have experience in warfare, because they have a lot of amputations with US soldiers, and they have daily practice, I guess, and that's why that's the go-to place, rather than any other country in the world that just does the medical prosthetics. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So because like the same in Ukraine, we have a lot of prosthetic centers that works before the war, and they work with this civilians trauma. They know how to create prosthetics for like below the knee amputation and like above the knee amputation. But this is like when you have enough enough the leg to create the prosthetics. But if we're talking about the upper limb and the level of shoulder and a lot of muscles we don't have, or amputation and the level of pelvis, and we don't have some pelvis parts. So this is the difficult cases. And when we're trying to find the clinic who can help us with this, yeah, we found it in US, because this center, Medical Center Orthotics and Prosthetics, MCOP, they are more than 70 years was the official partner of Ministry of Defense, and they work with Walter Reed Hospital to provide prosthetics for US soldiers after Iraq and Afghanistan. So they have more than 2,000 soldiers that they provide the different type of prosthetics. And it's everything is like the same. It's like this type of injury. So they know how it looks like, how to feed them. And it, the first case that we had in Ukraine and that we have in US, in Ukraine, when they prosthetist saw this patient, they told like, oh my God, we don't know how to build this type of prosthetics. Maybe you never can walk. But when we show the pictures to Mike, the head of the MCOP, he told me like, oh, come on, we can do it. He can walk. And you know what? This guy that like 1.5 years ago, it was our first patient that we start to work with this program in US. We provide them prosthetics at the level of, he has amputation at the level of hip joint. And we provide them prosthetics. And now he works 8 hours a day with this prosthetics to teach kids acrobatics. Oh. You can imagine. Yeah. So, and before for this person, somebody told that he never can walk. So it's for us, it shows that it's not just about the prosthetics. It's about the possibility to back to normal life, because this person is, he's like 35 years old. After injury, he got married. They have a little kid, 1 year old. So everything starts from after injury. So we try to advocate that the difficult type of amputations, these difficult type of injuries, they never stop the life for these people. We have enough in this world, some new technologies, the technology that can provide them possibility to back to normal life. And this is possible. And we saw and we show this, and we push maybe all this specialist. So, okay, we know that you don't have this experience, but this is not the this is not the reason to stop and don't do this. Mm-hmm. You need just to learn it. You need just to increase your level of education, knowledge, experience. Just go and do it, because this is the life of all the soldiers who want to back to the just normal life. They don't want to sit in a wheelchair. Because I saw that, like, this guy who lost the right arm and the right leg, he's sitting like a 6 months in the wheelchair. It's caused a lot of problems with cardiovascular system, because a lot of, like, he's sitting all the days, like, all the time. And when he just now, he has this prosthesis for leg, and he wear it, and he start to walk a little bit, maybe hour a day, we saw that he start to lose the weight, not because of the just the weight, because the water is not accumulated in the body. It's different. So he just start to be a little bit active, and he told me, like, oh, I sleep well, this is better, this is better. So, and he is motivated to back, you know, because when you're sitting in the wheelchair, and when you start to walk again, it's like completely different motivation to life. And what we do, we try to share this with other people. We post a lot of the things in the social media, because we know a lot of people who have the same type of injury, and they are lose the hope, and they stay at home, and they think, like, no, never. And when they saw this, maybe some video, and like, oh my god, he can walk, so I can walk, and they try to find the way how I can have it the same. So that's why it's maybe one of the things, just not just provide the prosthetics, we wanted to show that everything is possible, and for the people, never give up, for this specialist, Ukrainian specialist, to continue to learn, to increase the level of education, because we have so much people that they need this help. And we you know, like, with just this grant, like, for 1 million, yeah, it's like big amount. It will be just maybe 11, 12 soldiers. So, as you understand, so this work like this. That's why we try to not just to cover the cases, but more work with motivation, with advocacy. So more with this.
And here is a note on our own behalf. We now discuss the role that the Future for Ukraine Foundation plays, and our Cosmic Foundation provides the leaders, the team members of FFU free access to high quality coaching. We have identified ICF trained and certified coaches in Ukraine that speak Ukrainian, speak English. They'll be trained in our approaches on resilience, but they are also very good qualified in their own right with their own experience. And this will be made available and financed through the funds of the Cosmic Foundation. And we need more money for this, since there's a high demand for coaching, for team coaching. And so please support us. Please support the work of the Future for Ukraine Foundation, if you want to help the people. But if you want to help the people inside the foundation, support the Cosmic Foundation, because we can provide coaching. This is something that is otherwise not possible, because a charity needs to use the funds for their purpose and helping their team members stay healthy, stay resilient, stay happy, stay positive amidst all this adversity. That's something that we can provide with our Cosmic Foundation support and the coaches and the funding. So www.cosmic with a double K, COSMIKK minus foundation.org. That's the place where you can donate, and we are looking forward to your support. Thank you, and now back to the conversation with Elena Nikolayenko.
I've
would be amazing. And Elena, in the domain where you support women who had to experience sexual violence, there you also work together with a country who is in permanent warfare since its foundation in the 40s, Israel. And there you have psychologists that went through a special training to be able to treat women in that particular situation, right?
Yeah. We start this project, it was May 2022. We just, because it was the first information that this happens in Bucha a lot. It was May 2022. And with the girls from our team, we sit and like, okay, we need to do something. We couldn't we need to find the way how we can help. And we start to learn how we can provide this help, because we understand that this is like not the regular things. This is not just to go to the psychologist and like, or psychotherapist and talk about something. No, because these women, it's a very difficult situation. They don't want it to be open it with this, to share this stories or face or names, nothing. And from the very beginning, we understand that this project will be absolutely anonymous. So, and we consult with psychologists from Israel, from UK, and they told us like how to build this program, that we need to find the professional psychotherapist who has experience like near like 5-10 years working with sexual violence, but not in the wartime, but in civilian time. And then all these people need to have a special training, and then just they can start. So the preparation from this idea in May 22 to the when the project Gidno was started, it was like 9 months. So we find the it was 11 psychotherapists. All the psychotherapists are contracted with Future for Ukraine. So this is not the volunteer. We check everything, degree, experience, everything, knowledge. After this, they was contracted with Future for Ukraine, because we understand that it's this type of help couldn't be like a volunteering in just like today this. No, it's everything is like very clear and very understandable in the international rules of providing this type of help. After this, all these psychotherapists, they have the special training from Israel Coalition of Trauma, because they have experience in this type of help. And it was 3 months. After 3 months, all these psychotherapists, they have a special like exam, and just after this we start the program was started in the it was end of January, like from the February 2023, and for the year of like when the project was started, we had 26 requests for help. And we provide this. It's a special course from when it's not like it's a special course, like 10 or 20 sessions, because depends from the case. It can be 10 session, or if it's some difficult cases, it can be 20 session. All the psychotherapies, they have supervision from the specialist from Israel Coalition of Trauma, individual supervision and group supervision, and this supervisor she provide the like a special some rules how they need to work with this women and how to provide the help. And so this is very for us, this is a project that we help, you know, like we understand that when we help one woman to back to because this program just help this woman to back to transposition
life.
To life, to transposition that she can live a life that she can back to the life, maybe like this, because of course this project not it's about this, and it's more about the we work with this informational field, because we have a lot of problem with this. All the journalists like, oh my god, you have a project, give me a story. This is one problem that we like we know.
Nobody wants to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because it's in this is a rule of international rule. Then you couldn't share the any stories, any names, because it can re-traumatize every woman who not to who have this now this help, or the woman who not decide to go to this, but it will be re-traumatization for everybody, and they have a problem with like how to be safe to talk about this, and if somebody is just like creating everything in the media, no. So our main rule and decision in our charity that we never share any stories. We all this names and everything, just our psychotherapist, they know. The people from the charity, we don't know anything. It's everything anonymous for us too. We for us, for charity, we know just a number of the patient. And the project is like that, we have this all this contracted psychotherapist, and they paid for the work, and they reported to us just like a number of patient and how changed the status of patient without any stories, but just like how their status, this woman changed. And we paid for work for this psychotherapist. This project, it's very, very high level of social impact, because every woman that we help, we understand that behind this woman, we have families, and this woman contact with the world. Yeah, she can be teacher. She can be, I don't know. So she contact with people, and this help, it's not just for one woman. This is for our national, like, you know, like it's, we wanna to help.
For the future, for the future of Ukraine.
Yes,
I mean, that's
exactly.
I think what I hear when I listen to you is that you have chosen very wisely where to support children, autism spectrum, traumatized children, women who experience sexual violence, wounded soldiers, and all of it has to do with giving future, giving hope, giving perspective, enabling a normal life as much as possible going forward. And you do this with a high degree of quality, of thoroughness, of being considerate. So that's impressive.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we try to do our best, you know. Exactly, when the war just started, we understand, like, we are all our team of girls, we are from the business. Nobody knows what is the charity, how it works, and what we should do. But we know how the businesses works, how to the like international businesses works, how we need to build this, all of this, and we wanted to create something that it will be really in high level of professionalism, with good with high level of transparency, and that's why we found the way that all our skills and experience that we had before the war, it can be helpful for our country in this way when we do this.
Yeah, and you said we come from the business. We have no idea how charity works. This is true, but you are also a medical doctor, and we come to this in a second. So there is a bit more than just being from the business world. You have some knowledge, and that shows, and I think that's also important to the work that you do. But before we go there, Elena, one more question. I mean, when we were looking for an NGO to support, to work with from our Cosmic Foundation, we came across FFU, and we were impressed by the approach that you take, but also of the quality of your marketing. You publish your financial reports, your founding documents, everything is as a transparency. It was very clear, very visible. That gave us a lot of trust. And we reached out, and our dear colleague, Olga Vasilets, who we both know, and who also was on this podcast a while ago. And she said, hey, there's this foundation from Germany, and they want to support with coaching. And you didn't need convincing. It was a yes, let's do this. When can we start, kind of? What experience do you have with coaching, or why was that something that you said, yes, we need this?
Oh, it's maybe because of in my life, coaching, the work with coach changed my mindset in some period of time, and this exactly changed my life. I know that not everybody use the coaching as a support to grow, like, and to change a life or something. And for me, my first coach was not my decision. I don't know, at that time, I never know what is this and how it can help. I was working for MSD, and my our CEO, he told me, like, Lena, you can be the leader. And I'm thinking, like, oh my God, no, I love this, my work. I just manage my project. And he told me, like, no, you can be, and I know that you can be, but you not believe in yourself, and you don't have this, like, this one. You need to go to the coach. And he was the first person who support me and push me to the to the coach sessions. And I had, like, maybe 4 or 6, I don't remember. It was not the big one. It was 6 or 8. Yeah, it was 6 or 8 coach sessions that changed my mind, and I understand that. So I have everything. I just need to create this step, and it's exactly changed my life. And other, my coach who helps me a lot, it was the person who told me, like, you can run your own business. So, because I think that, like, so what my question was, like, I can do this, or I'm afraid. So, you know, like, it's every time when you inside work with yourself, and you, and the coach can support you with this type of decision, how to find a way. And I know that this is can change. And exactly now, when we talk with Olga about this type of opportunity, I know that it can help our team to find the way how to be the best, how to find the best decision. And it's exactly to help the people to grow professionally, personally. So I know a lot of the best things that can provide the coaching. That's why exactly I told, like, exactly yes. I'm happy with this.
And we are very much looking forward to working with you. So we'll be starting off soon. There's some bit of red tape that we need to work through, but I think we are almost there. But let's go to the time when FFU was founded. So let's go back to February 24, 2022. I guess every Ukrainian living in Ukraine or living anywhere in the world knows precisely where they were at that time. How did you experience that? And when did you have the first time the idea, we need to do something?
When the war was started, I was in my apartment with my family, and it was it was early morning. We understand that because it was a lot of bombing, and we saw it from my apartment because I'm in the 23rd floor. My apartment, I have
in Kiev.
No, it's like near Kiev. It's Brovary, and in Brovary, it was the one of the first they bombing the military our station, and it was horrible. Everything is blowing, and a lot of people the same day they leave the country with the kids, but I don't know why we decide that we stay. We don't want to leave, and I stay for. It was March 16 when I leave the Ukraine, and it was like my friend Anna Kovalova. She's the founder of Future for Ukraine. She called me like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "I'm home." She told me like, "Please, like, pack the stuff and leave." I'm like, "No, I want to stay. Maybe later. I don't know." So, and I'm stay, and she evacuate all the, because she owner at that time, she was owner of the creative agency, and she helped like all the team to evacuate it abroad. And maybe a couple of days, like maybe a week later, she called me we wanted to create, she told me, like, "I wanted to create the charity foundation. Could you help me with the concept and strategy?" And like, "Why not?" Like, and I asked her, like, "You know, like, somebody knows what is charity?" She's like, "No, please do it from the scratch." So create the strategy from the scratch for the foundation. And I start to work with the strategy, and at the same time, it was very hard. All this, the battlefield from Chernihiv is moving to Kyiv, and I'm leaving the city that, like, from this way, from Chernihiv to Kyiv, and it was the main, this battlefield was like 5 kilometers from our house. Yes, it was like too much noisy. And the electricity start to shut down every time. And I call Anna, like, "Okay, I create the strategy, and I'm sitting in the bomb shelter, and I create the strategy for Future for Ukraine." I don't know that it was Future for Ukraine, because Anna in Warsaw, she creates something like the name, and she told me, like, "Okay, it will be Future for Ukraine." And I create the strategy, how the, if we wanted to build the very, like, good charity, how it needs to be. And I call her, like, "Okay, we have here this little bit problem with electricity, because the battlefield is like a little bit close. And that's why I will send you the parts and the voice for like explaining how you need to build and do this." And she like, and she called me back and told, like, "Okay, I need to do something. I tried to find a way to evacuate you, because our city was like blocked in that." And and she found the way, and we had the she called me, like, "Okay, where are you? How, like, what in the house?" But we was in the house, and it was 14 people over there in that house. And it was like two of us, two women with three kids. And I told her, like, "So I'm not here, not alone. I have other women with kids. If you, like, could you please, like," she told me, like, "Exactly." So they evacuate us, two women and three kids, evacuate to Kyiv. And then we have a green corridor, and we have this way from the Kyiv to Warsaw. And Anna helped us to find the apartment. And from the middle of the March, I'm joined to the team Future for Ukraine, and I'm started to live in Warsaw. And I'm joined to team and start to work as a, firstly, it was the marketing manager and strategic and development. And then like we are, our team start to grow in, and we opened in the USA, and now I'm a president for USA Future for Ukraine, and continue to help like a strategic and development leader.
It sounds so easy when you say that, you know, I mean, 5 kilometers, the you know, the battlefield, that's like around the corner, literally. I mean, I can literally picture where that would be in my village, and I would be scared like hell. Wow. Okay. And so now there is a Future for Ukraine Foundation, which is great, and it would be even better if there was no reason for it, right? And that the war would end, but it is what it is, and you're trying to make the best out of it, and changing something positive, which is absolutely admirable. Elena, I would like to get to know you as a person a little bit more, if I may. So when you were young, what influenced you? I mean, somehow you took a special path in life, and you probably would have never envisioned to end up being the president of a charity. So when you were young, what did your parents do? How did you grow up? Just maybe paint us a picture if you
mm-hmm. may. Yeah, thank you. About, you know, like about the charity, it was funny things that when I was moving from the business, like when I was just from employee to my own business, like entrepreneur, and a couple months later, I'm just started, and one person asked me like, okay, what do you want to do for living? Maybe like something else. It was November 2021. So it's like 3 months before the war started. Yeah. And I'm thinking like, and I told him, you know, I wanted to be head of some big charity, to do some good things, and it, like to help people. It was November. And then when I started, like you remember, you told me that you wanted to be the head of the charity. So, yeah. But from my childhood, I was a very active kid. I love piano. It was my passion a lot. I play like 10, sometimes 10 hours a day. So I'm just sitting like, it was my, but now I, you know, like the life is changing, and, sometimes you don't have a time for this, but every time my main, maybe, in life, what is push me to something, it was interest. I'm just when I'm interest of something, just if I have enough interest, like, so I, if it's interest for me, I do it. If not, I don't do it. So that's why it works just like this for me. What I want to be a doctor. I remember it was like when I was a kid, and that's why I'm going to, like, yeah, I was in the medical school, and I want to be a surgeon. Like, I want to be a surgeon, oncogynecologist. Mm-hmm. And it's the interesting thing that when I'm finished at the medical school, and I'm not going to the medical, like this, my move to the pharmaceutical business, but I'm working for oncology to oncology division. So for 5 years almost in Sanofi and MSD to launch that was launched the best product for people with cancer. So this wise, you know, like I sometimes I feel that the life is We have the God have some plans for everybody, and if we with the interest to try to find our best in ourselves, like and to increase our knowledge and this and that, so we just live that life that we need to. Everything is going as it going, and if you want to do the best, it just helps you in your life, right? And with interest, it's more interesting.
Somehow the path creates itself, right, going forward.
Yeah. Yes, like this.
Yeah. And Elena, your dad was a mechanical engineer when he was working.
Yeah.
And your mom was an early stage computer programmer.
Yes, it was. Yeah, and my mom told me every time, like, I asked her, like, so how it was? And she told me, like, this machine is, like, it's a big, huge thing when you do programming, all these things. Yeah, and she's very good in math and all of this. But my dad, he's an engineer of a big iron construction, and he was work for, like, 12 years with Israel, this was big plant that they work for.
And you also told me that you have an older brother that is the CEO of Makita Ukraine.
Yes.
And he was in the battlefield for quite some time.
Yeah, my brother, he's one just when the war was started, he's immediately... he goes like a volunteer to the army, and it was 1 year and 8 months he was in the army as a head of group of artillery group, and yeah, it was like more than 200. He has more than 200. It's called like a when they in the battlefield, the fights in the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very active.
Very active. And he was injured, but thankfully he's okay now. He's back from the front and he's with his family and working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he continued to work for Makita here. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. And which role, if you look back, which role did mentors or role models play in your life? Anybody that inspired you?
Yes, you know, like mentors. It's a maybe I'm a person like this that I'm every time try to learn from the people who have something like, but it's not just about when they have some position or something. It's about, for me, it's very important how the people can combine the life with some professional life. So how they come, the combination. It's more about the happiness, because if you just work every day, you couldn't see any life. And if you just so for me, this how to combine all of these things, it's very important. And exactly, I try to find the people who can inspire me to something, how they can do in this. My first maybe mentor was a person that she told me like that this type of connection can help you grow. She's she's name is Anna too, and she helped me a lot that I need to more communicate with people, because sometimes when you know, like, for especially for people who wanted to be successful in professional way, they like just like work. And it was me some period of time. And I'm think that just when you have a final result, you can share it. And she helped me a lot that I can need to go to like a short steps and to show like all this like short step results and to win and to celebrate all this like short short steps wins. So, and it helps me a lot to be more balancing in the life. So, you know, everything that we had before the war, it was one thing. So now our mindset, my mindset is changed a lot. That's why maybe something that we had before, it was because, you know, before the war, everything was like perfect. We have our own business, this and that, everything was. And when the war started, everything crashed in the one day. And you need to rebuild everything and rebuild not just like a house, family or something. You need to rebuild yourself. How to be stronger, how to be resilient, how to be like positive, where to find some positive things when you are in the, like when your country in the war, your parents live in the middle of the country where worries continue, when your son's somewhere in one country, I'm in US. So everything is, everybody's separated and you need to find a way how to not to give the stress, just broke everything, and how to find this decisions to be positive and to build something good and to help somebody.
And you come across as somebody who is very positive and resilient, and I'm very, very sure that this requires a lot of work on yourself, right, on how you do that, and also due to the fact that you are actually changing something to the positive. Also, that is something that I guess gives energy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And Elena, if we look in the news, as we record this right now, the US Congress is kind of, you know, battling with each other if they release the funds for future artillery ammunition. And all other things like, you know, there's still no real path to peace visible. How do you remain optimistic in amidst all of that?
You know, Carsten, this is a very tough question. And like everybody wants to know how it can be or what. Exactly, everybody wants that. Because the war is horrible. It's not just about the battlefield. It's about the old people who suffered from this, who like, because sometimes, yes, yeah, sometimes it's quiet, but sometimes it's when the Russians sent, like last time it was 67 missiles and they bombed the civilian building in the middle of the Kiev and around over there. And everybody was like all night in the shelter. And my team, Future for Ukraine team, they sit in the shelter with the kids. And the kids is like, you can imagine that when like the kids, like during the like 2 years, they run in the night to the shelter and sleeping in the around. This is not the room for kids when they like quietly can sleep. It's somewhere in the ground with some something. And they just praying and all this sounds of this bombing. So it's horrible. And everybody wants that everything is stopped. Exactly. But, and all this, when I saw all these injured people, this who lost the limbs, who helped, yeah, who was fighting for our independence and this and that. The war is horrible things. And about the USA, we exactly, you know, like Ukrainians never give up. We know it because we know our spirit. With help, it can be less people who died of the because of the war. Without help, it will be more people who can will be injured and died in the battlefield. So I'm not the I'm not the politician. I'm not the my work to help people. And I saw as like as long this war is continue, we have a lot of people who need help. Now we have like in Ukraine officially 50,000 people who lost their limbs during the war. 50,000.
That's a city. That's a city full of people.
Yes. And 10% of this, it's complicated cases. So, and all these kids who stay like with during this bombing, the kids, they need this, like, the kids need normal life. They need to be happy. They need to go to school. You know that in Kharkiv, we have a schools in the underground, in the metro. They build the school inside the metro station because we know that the kids need education, but they couldn't just go to school and play in the playground or something. So it's the war is horrible things. Exactly, we everybody Ukrainians they wanted we wanted that the will that the war is ended with and for us, you know, like it's important exactly because we fight not just about this is about democracy that nobody can just start the war in 21st century because of something just come into other country and to kill the people to rape women to kill the kids or something. It's like unbelievable was yeah nobody
Absolutely.
Can like how it can happen but we have it in our country and we couldn't just like I don't know exactly Ukrainians they will fight for our victory and we wanted to have it like as soon as possible yeah but we understand that this is tough and difficult process.
Yeah, it's I'm touched by what you say and I find it hard to close this podcast. But what you I fully hear what you say. It's sounds like there's no alternative to pulling through, right? There's no alternative. Giving up is not an alternative. It's this fierce optimism. We need to move forward. We cannot stand still. We cannot give up. Otherwise, no Ukraine will be left. That feeling I'm getting.
Exactly, because it's like today it's Ukraine. Tomorrow can be some other country. Because this is the broke the like the worldwide rules that you couldn't just come to other country and kill the people.
Mm-hmm.
So and. And this is why we told that like the this war is in our land, in Ukrainian land. But this is about democracy for all the world. That's why when we talk about this, so we have this situation, but with help of all these people who wanted to win in democracy way, like the about this, that we wanted to live in the peaceful world, we need to have a special rule that everybody needs to protect these rules. Or so it's more about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Elena, last question. What's something about you that I haven't asked you yet that might be interesting? We know that you play piano. Maybe we learn something more. When you have time, obviously you don't have time right now, but what else is there to share with us?
About me, maybe that for me is very important. For me is very important to the people, the team when we work, like what the people that we works with, the team. And that's why maybe when you tell me like, oh, coaching, I exactly immediately say, of course, I try to find the way for every people in our team to inspire them to find the strength inside, especially now, to be positive, to be passionate that they works for, and to be sensitive for other people. Yeah, because we works in not the regular world. Yeah, so that's why I'm really care about the not, you know, like sometimes we're talking about, okay, we need to help inside our team, and we have strength enough to help outside our team. So that's why for me, one of the things that the team is very important, because you couldn't be the good leader or good manager if your team is unhappy and they are struggling about something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and this is also why I think this is very, very much farsighted to say, hey, we need to do something for our people, even if there's a war, even if there's no time, even if there's, you know, so much to be done, but still, when the people are not taken care of or when they are unwell, then they cannot do anything, right? It's very simple, and it's very special, I think, to have that horizon that you are showing. So that's really cool. Elena, I'm looking very much forward to our next meeting. I'm looking very much forward to meeting your team and start working for you, with you, with the pool of Ukrainian coaches that we have identified with help of Olga. So, and I wish you all the best. Also the soldiers that you're accompanying in Washington, all the best to them and to their families, and speak soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Karsten. I was very happy to see you and to have this beautiful discussion with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Elena. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So that was Elena Nikolayenko. What a story. What are your thoughts, reflections, feelings when you listen to that? I would really be interested to hear from you, to read from you. Send us an email at leaderstalk@leadership-choices.com or leave a comment, leave a review. That would all be very helpful, and we are very much looking forward to hearing from you. And now, all the best to you. Stay healthy. And we hear us next episode in 2 weeks' time. Bye till then.